This morning I want to share on Psalm 62. You can open your Bibles there if you've got it with you. And I think normally this time of the year, when we get to this time of the year, on the one side I want to say we hear about people that say, no, they're just tired, they're just fed up, and they almost don't got the strength to carry on and so on. But I almost want to say as well that normally this time of year, we don't only hear about people like that. Normally it's us. We reach that moment where we say, listen, we just want this year to finish. I just want to get on holiday, put work behind me. But then we think about it. I mean, me, myself, the factory, we're closing at the 15th. But thinking about all the things that still need to happen before the 15th, it's kind of overwhelming. And in a sense, you're not looking forward to it. But this is where we're at. There's still a lot of things that needs to be done. And I think it just, in a sense, bring us to a place where we really need to turn to God and say, okay, Lord, now we need your help. You need to strengthen us and help us to go through this. Because I think a lot of times what happens is we look at circumstances and our prayer is, Lord, change the circumstances. But normally what's supposed to happen is God is supposed to change us so that in that circumstances our behavior will be different. And because of that, the circumstances change. So a lot of times we expect God just to come and change everything around us, but it's us that need to change through that process. So God, this morning I want to share on Psalm 62, written by David, King David. He's the author of this scripture, and I think this feeling of feeling overwhelmed and feeling stressed and all that kind of stuff, it's not something new. It's not something only that we only see in this times. We also see it in the Bible. If we look at a lot of people in the Bible, we see them in that place of desperation, that place of calling out or crying out, that place of not knowing where to go from here, how they're supposed to be able to move from here. And this Psalm 62 is only one scripture of one person being in such a place. But what we see when we look at him in this scripture is we see him crying out to God. We see the way that he moves through that difficult time. So I want to share that with you. Psalm 62, we're reading from verse 1. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. Now, like I said in the beginning, I think listening to King David here, we can see he's also in a place where he's crying out to God. We can see he's also going through very difficult times. And I think maybe we look at our own lives, and a lot of times we think, yeah, but you know, the things going on in my life is so much bigger. Other people don't understand. But King David, in this season of his life or in this moment, it's not only that he's got difficulty at work, things is going a little bit tough or anything like that. He's the king. He's the one responsible for everyone in that kingdom. He's the one supposed to create an economy wherein people can flourish. Creating a place wherein people are safe. I mean, especially back then, there were so many wars and stuff going on. But he was supposed to manage all of that, to look after the people of that kingdom. So, yes, I think we can say he had quite a stressful job. But not only that, they wanted him, a lot of people in his kingdom, a lot of people under him, working under him, wanted him dead. So that's why he talks about all those false mouths and stuff, is because there's so many people that wanted him dead. So that's the, may I say, the stress and the difficulty that he had to live with. It's not only a stressful job, but it was really, I think, a stressful life. And if someone like this comes to us and tells us, listen, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm going through. Because this is what he's doing here. Is he's opening himself up. He's making it very personal, sharing with us the stuff that he's going through. But also, in a sense, showing us how to go through it. Now, I think for me, with my problems or stuff, that circumstances that I'm going through, then I listen. Because I think he's really someone that can tell us how to go through circumstances like this. Now, all I want to do this morning, I'm not going to be very long in sharing on this. I want to go through the verses again. I want to show you certain things in those verses. And we're starting off basically with verse 1 and 2. So, by reading, you can just put up the scriptures as we go along, please. I'm reading it again. It says here, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, and I shall not be greatly shaken." Now, looking at this, looking at what he's saying in that first two verses, he's having the focus on himself. He's basically telling us, this is where I am at this stage. He's talking about him and where he's putting his focus. He says, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence." He's talking about him and where he puts his faith, in a sense. "From him comes my salvation." But it's all about him, the circumstances that he finds himself in that moment. But then we go to verse 3 and 4. "How long will all of you attack a man to batter him?" Remember in the beginning he said, "me, my." But now he's saying, "a man to batter him, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence, the only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood, they bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse." It's like he starts to talk about this situation. He's starting to talk about himself as a third person. And the reason why he's doing that is he's starting to draw us in to the place where he finds himself into. It's like, in a sense, he's coming to us, telling us in the beginning, yeah, this is where I am at. By carrying on, starting to talk about himself as that third person, what he's basically doing is he's bringing us to a place where we read this and we almost feel like that can also be me. There's people out there doing people towards me, saying things about me. So immediately what happens, it's like it's not only personal to him anymore, but he's bringing it over to us. He's allowing us into that space of coming into that place where we can experience, but yeah, I can see you're saying something and I can resemble with that. I know what you are talking about. Then we go to verse 5, 6, and 7. "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is in him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken." Verse 5 and 6 is verse 1 and 2. He repeats verse 1 and 2. And the reason for that is like he almost want to remind us what he said in the beginning. It's like he want to remind us, listen, God is the one in who we are supposed to be. God is the one who we need to look at. "On God rest my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God." Why that verse is there is basically telling us, listen, I know where you are at. I know what you are going through. But for me, God is my rock. I'm also going through this, but I can't go through this without God. I need God. It's like he's giving us direction in saying, guys, this is the way that I go through it. And if we carry on, verse 8 to 10, what happens here is he talks directly to us. He's telling us something. It's not referring to himself as a third person or anything like that, but it's like he's turning to us, telling us something, trusting him at all times, O people. That's why it says, O people, he's turning to us, talking to us. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In their balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Since that moment where he's turning away completely from his situation. He's turning away completely from where he is at. From all the bad things going on in his own life. He's turning away from that completely. Turning to the rest of us. Reading this piece of scripture today. Telling us, oh people, this is what you need to do. It's like he's giving us advice. It's like he's telling us, this is the way you are going to get out of this. And I think it's so important if something happens to others, things going on in our lives, too often, and I want to say this, I think we're in that place where someone did something to us. Something is going on in your life now, and a lot of times we feel, but only if only I can let that person understand how they make me feel. If only I can get that person back, in a sense, I will feel better. But that's a lie. We won't feel better. We'll actually come to a place one day where we need to go back to that person and to repent for what we said or what we've done. So what he's saying to us here is, no, you can't make things better. You need to turn to God. Bring everything to God. And then if we can go to the last two verses, verse 11 and verse 12. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. And that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. You see what happens here is he was speaking to us, he was talking to us, telling us what to do. And in this last two verses, he turned away from us and towards God, because he's talking to God. And that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. So what he did, if we look at this scripture, is he started off basically by telling us or showing us that he's in a very difficult situation, but he's looking towards God. Secondly, he moved into that place where he started to talk about himself as a third person, basically drawing us in to a place where we can say, okay, but I see what you are saying. I'm in a similar situation in a sense. Then he reminded us, the way he go through this is by looking at God. After that, he moved to that part where he basically turned to us and speak with us and tell us what to do, how to get through it. But he doesn't stop there. He turned away from us towards God. And he's being an example of how to do it. It's like he's telling us, guys, it's not enough to talk about bad circumstances. It's not enough saying to each other that we know that only God is the one that can bring us out of that circumstances. You need to actually turn to God. Because I think too often we, we know the answers. We know what we are supposed to do. Looking at our circumstances, we know exactly what we are supposed to do. But we don't necessarily do it. Knowing what to do and doing it is two different things. Looking at someone like David, looking at his life, I think that's something we can all testify about. He don't only talk about what you are supposed to do. He will always do it as well. And even in this scripture, that's exactly what we see in that last two verses. We don't only see him talking about turning to God, making God your rock. But we see him talking to God. And putting God into that place where he is his rock. So this morning, basically, I just want to encourage you, being the end of the year, coming to a moment in a place like this where it feels to us a lot of times, but just everything is drawing to an end. It's coming to the end of the year and we're running out of time. all the things we still need to do and stuff like that. We can talk to each other. We can talk about the thing of God being the one strengthening us. But if we don't actually turn to God, we won't be strengthened. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back to the front again, please. And we're going to do another worship song, one of those that we already did. But in doing that, what I want to ask you this morning, I don't have to tell you your circumstances. You know what's going on in your life right now. We're going to worship together, but I don't want you just to sing a song with us. Because God never called us to singing songs. He called us into His presence. Singing songs or worshiping is part of how we get into His presence. But what I want to ask you this morning is not to focus on the words necessarily, what we're singing, not to try and sing the song. Yes, you can sing with the worship team. But rather use this moment, just tell God, you can do it silently, you can do it out loud, doesn't matter. But just tell God, Lord, this is my circumstances now. Lord, this is the things stressing me out. This is the things I'm worrying about. And maybe you sit here this morning, you say, but it's not that big. You know, still, you don't have to carry it on your own. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you think, but yes, it is so big. It's not too big for God. Because He is the Creator. He is the one that created each of us. If anyone can take us through difficult circumstances, it's Him. But then we need to draw closer to Him. We need to come to a place where we can say, like David, He is my rock. And you know, the only thing that God wants from us is an honest heart. A lot of times, we're in a place where we say, yeah, but I don't feel like that. I don't feel that God is my rock. He's the one strengthening me. I want to say to you this morning, God wants an open relationship with you. Now, what that means is when you don't feel like He's your rock, not to go to Him, okay, Lord, You're my rock and You're my everything. But to be able to say, Lord, I don't feel like that right now. Won't You just help me to a place where I can declare that You're my rock? Won't You just help me to move into that place? You know, I think there's nothing that God wants more than an honest heart. We don't come to God pretending to love Him. We don't come to Him pretending that He's all these things. He knows if He's all of that to us or not. So I want to challenge you in a sense this morning to come to Him in honesty, saying, Lord, this is where I'm at now. Won't You please help me to move from this place to where You want me? And also, and this is, I didn't prepare this, but something I just thought about now is that, you know, looking at David, one of the things about David's life, so many times in difficult circumstances, all he did is he glorified God. And in glorifying God in that difficult circumstances, God picked him up from that place. So even this morning, if you sit here and you feel, but I don't feel all of that that you're talking about, just ask Him to help you to glorify Him. And I trust that in doing that, that He will move you to a place where He can become your rock and where He can be the one to strengthen you.